Right now, we're going through a series on the Psalms, specifically focusing on David crying out with his whole being to the Lord. It's a personal series, and I wanted to step out of the pulpit because everyone thinks that's professional Christian, and I wanted to sit here and say, no, we're personally falling before the Lord and talking about what it really looks like to have a relationship with God, an honest relationship. So if you have your Bibles today, and I hope you do, would you please open them with me to the book of Psalms? We're going to be looking at chapter 13, which is one more psalm of King David. It can be found on page 852 of your pew Bibles. That is Psalm chapter 13. Hear the word of the Lord. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death and my enemies will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation and I will sing praises. I will sing the Lord praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. I mentioned last week how we're looking at these psalms, specifically focusing on the laments of David crying out to the Lord. This is important for us because there are times in our lives when we cry out. There are times in our lives when we question God and we ask why. And for us to see King David, a man after God's own heart, and his heartfelt cry out to the Lord. Well, I feel this gives us a little better understanding of what God is looking for in a relationship with us. God is looking for authentic relationships where we can go before him and we can be real. He already knows what's going on in our heads. Why do we constantly try to disguise it? Why do we act like things aren't serious or worse? Why do we fall down and blame God when we could just be crying out to him and asking for understanding? And part of having an authentic relationship with our Creator is questioning. It's about crying out to God, just like we do to our parents when we're little children. Do we really think God is going to punish us for crying out to him? He might call us to task like he did with Job, and that would be a really humbling and extremely cool experience, at least in my opinion. But he isn't going to love us any less if we cry out to him. It just might show ourselves that we have a more authentic relationship with him than we thought, because we're going to him even in our times of questioning. I couldn't help when preparing for this sermon thinking back to earlier this year when Nathaniel was born. Karen and I have been blessed with two awesome children, and while they are both awesome, they were both extremely stressful when it came to them being born. They both came 5 weeks early. They both were in the lower 5 pound range, and while Lydia was with us from minute one, Nate had breathing problems. Breathing problems that caused him to be taken away from us hours after he was born and taken to some place called Rainbows. You know, I mentioned this before, and for those of you who are around here, you know about Rainbows. Rainbows is a great place, and now I understand that. But for a newcomer coming to the area, being told that your son is going to be driven 30-plus miles away to Cleveland to some place called Rainbows, some place that you've never heard of, you get a little mad, and I was a little frustrated with the doctor. I asked her to explain to me what Rainbows was, and she wouldn't do it. And then she turned and walked out of the room and wouldn't respond to any of my questions. And when she did this, I felt like I wanted to scream. I wanted this T-Rex roar to come out of my mouth because of the anguish I was going through. And because it wasn't going to happen, I had to hold it in and I had to start praying. I had to ask, Lord, why? Why is this happening? This stinks. I hate this. God, help me get sleep so I can be more effective and help my wife tomorrow. Because she couldn't leave. She had to wait. It was 2 in the morning. And so I prayed this angry screaming out to God prayer, and guess what? I slept. It wasn't the best sleep, but it was sleep nonetheless, and it was sleep that helped me that next morning drive my wife to Cleveland so she could stay at Rainbow's. And now for anyone here, anyone who ever asks me, I will recommend Rainbow to them any time of day. But at that time, I didn't know. The question I have to ask myself, now that I'm looking back, now that I'm 8 months out, and even in the following weeks after being at Rainbow's, the question I have to ask myself is, why was I afraid? What did I have to worry about? Because do I really believe God's in charge? Or had I taken my eyes off the Lord for just a brief minute? Taken my eyes off the Lord because I'm human. We find ourselves in binds all the time. When if we only focused on the Lord, we could see ourselves being authentic like David here. We could see ourselves being authentic, crying out to God instead of holding it in. We could see ourselves saying, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? How long, O Lord? We've all had these moments of anguish. We've all had to face depression of sorts. We've all faced despair and even times of anxiety. And when facing these times, do we find ourselves crying out to the Lord? Or do we find ourselves like most Christians who just go to church on Christmas and Easter? We go to church on those days to appease God, and we appease this God we've created in our minds because we want to make sure all the bases are covered. Or do we go to church because we have faith? And we have to sit back and ask ourselves this. Do we have faith in the Lord? And even though we have faith, do we have these times of struggle where we don't look to Him? We haven't been able to take this faith that we have in God and actually take a leap and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with my all. This is why I helped walk everyone through Peter's life this past summer. And then we walked through Abraham's life this past fall. There's a reason I wanted to show everyone Peter as well as the series we went through in the fall. And that reason is to learn that we can't do it on our own. The reason is to help us learn that we're not perfect and no one's perfect. And we can get so easily self-righteous about ourselves. We can get this idea and portray this idea to everyone around us that I have it together. I'm doing okay. But deep down inside, there are these times when we feel like we're falling apart. There are these times deep down inside where it's hard for us to trust the Lord with our all. The only person who was ever able, and this is why I went through Peter and Abraham, the only person who was ever able to follow God with his all is Jesus. And Jesus is God. That's a hard pill for us to swallow, which is why over and over again, the Lord continues to call us back to Him. He continues to challenge us throughout Scripture to trust Him with our all, with all of our minds, with all of our heart, our soul, and our strength. And even with that, we still need Him to clear our minds most of the time. We still need Him to circumcise our hearts, to cleanse our souls, and to give us that strength. We need Him to do this just so we can follow Him. And here David is. David, a man after God's own heart, and we find him struggling. He's wondering why everything around him is falling apart, and he's crying out to God, how long, O Lord, do I have to wrestle with my own thoughts? What a line. It shows us, because all of us go through these questions, how long do I have to wrestle with my own thoughts? It shows us that we are sick to the core. We have been this way since the fall of man, and the only one who can cleanse us, the only one who can make us better is God. It's like the people who, if only they'd go to the doctors, they could get over their ailment. But no, they hate going to the doctors, and if they're like me, it's because they hate shots. And doctors' offices, and especially hospitals, give me the heebie-jeebies. I don't want to go, but if only I could go, I could get better. I might be healed. And then there's God. You know, I'm scared of the doctor's office. Everyone knows it. I still go every time I feel a cold coming on. But God, why does God scare us? Do we really believe that he cares for us? Or do we believe that he's just the creator of the universe whose main purpose is to torment and to punish us? The scriptures show us that from the very beginning, God has been desiring an honest relationship with each of us. But because we, for some reason, have this mental block that keeps us from following the Lord with our all, bad things continually happen. And bad things even happen when we think we're trying to follow God. Because in and of ourselves, we can't follow God with our all. But the truth is, we need him. We need to continually seek God in good and in bad times, because if we don't, things can get really bad. And while David is considered a man after God's own heart, we see that he failed many times. We see that he turned his back on the Lord many times, and Bathsheba is just one great example. And because of this sin, he had to face the consequence of his sin, of his action. And the consequences were great. Sons rebelling, sons trying to kill him, sons dying, all because of the sin of David with one woman years before. All because of the sin, and David couldn't repent until he was finally called out. But it's also because David sinned, but did he raise his children in the ways of the Lord? Honestly, how can you raise your children in the ways of the Lord when you have all these wives who have all these children? Once again, he's not following the will of the Lord. And he's trying to raise these kids, have these wives, and run a kingdom. So when Absalom turned and revolted on his father, we see David running. We see David seeking God, and we see David very troubled. Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Like David, we all have times when we don't trust in the Lord. And like David, it can go weeks, months, or even years before we turn back. We today can't think we're any different from the Israelites. They thought they were following God. They went to synagogue. They sacrificed what they thought was needed because they were trying to do right in the eyes of the Lord. But it was what they thought was right. And just like David, the Israelites entered times of trial and tribulation because they weren't following God with their all. They were kicked out of the promised land time and time again. They had oppressive rulers who expected more of them than they felt they could handle. And we're no different. How many times have we found ourselves just going through the motions? Or how many times have we found ourselves going to church because we think it's expected, or because we want our slates wiped clean at the end of the week? We are just like David, and we're just like the Israelites, which is why we have to continually be looking to the Lord, thanking him for what he's doing in our lives, asking him to show us what he wants us to do with his life, with our lives. But more importantly, just seeking his will. I look at David and I can't help but see similarities. I mean, if I really trusted God with my all, would I have been worried when my son was taken away? Or could I have just trusted that God's will be done? And all things, good and bad, God's will be done. And if only I can trust him at all times, I just might not feel hopeless. I might not feel this sense of helplessness. But more importantly, I might also not feel like I'm all alone. Alone, looking at my enemies all around me. seeing my enemies win all the time, seeing them succeed, and constantly seeing myself fail, and constantly seeing myself fall from God's favor. This happens when we don't have our eyes focused on God. The life of Peter and Abraham are great examples. They're two people who are known for their faith in the Lord, but they are also two people who failed so many times. And when we look at the moments like David's here, we feel something like what Peter must have felt on the water. We feel the waves rushing up against us on all sides. We feel like we're drowning, like there's no hope. And we call out to God, but we really think he doesn't care. We call out to God, but we really don't think he's listening. But we get this sense that deep down inside, he's still there. We know that deep down inside, if we could only look past our immediate circumstances, we would know and we would remember how great our God is. And if we could only do this, we'd be just like David, looking down inside ourselves, and we would be singing praises to God like he's doing in this section of Scripture. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Looking at this series, I can't help but think of those around us who need to remember how much God cares for us. I can't help but think about how many of us have gone through trials and tribulations. And like Peter, we feel like we're sinking. Or like Abraham, we're losing something, like when Abraham lost his wife. Or like David, we have people building armies around us, coming at us, trying to fight us and kill us. We have these times where we feel immense sorrow, times when we are just crying out to God because we don't feel him anymore, or we don't hear him. These are times when we feel alone, and we feel so alone. And when thinking about this, I couldn't help but remember this poem. One night I dreamed a dream. I was walking along the beach with my Lord. Across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. For each scene I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to my Lord. When the last scene of my life shot before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. There were only one set of footprints. I realized that this was the lowest and saddest times of my life. This always bothered me, and I questioned the Lord about my dilemma. Lord, you told me when I decided to follow you, you would walk and talk with me all the way. But I'm aware that during the most troublesome times of my life, there is only one set of footprints. I just don't understand why. When I needed you the most, you left me. And God whispered, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. Never, ever, during your times of trial and testing, when you saw only that one footprint, one set of footprints, it was then that I was carrying you. This poem is powerful, and while I struggle with parts of it, especially where it says, I decided to follow God, because it's God that's drawing us to him, I still have to sit back and just look at this poem and feel like we are all this guy, this person walking on the beach. During our times of trials and our tribulations, we all feel like we're alone, even with so many people around us. And if I can only remember this one thing, God is always there. If I can only keep that in my hand at all times, knowing that God is always there. This was something David knew. David knew it, but he also allowed his sin and his circumstances to take his mind off of that fact, even if it were only for brief moments in his life. We are the same way. We're sinners in the hands of an angry God. And like David, we allow our sins to cloud our minds. We allow our hardships to take our eyes off the Lord. But even when we're doing this, even when we're taking our eyes off the Lord, God is still there. God never leaves us. God never forsakes us. I had a great example of this past week. I was in Sharon, and this guy decided he wanted to sit and talk with me. He talked with me about how God had blessed him so much through his life. He told me at 17 years of age he died. He was dead for 20 minutes in a lake up in Maine, and he came back. And he talked to me about how God has continually blessed him. But then he looked at me and he said, I wish the Holy Spirit was always in me. I wish I could feel God's presence at all times. And I wish I could feel at peace with God all the time. I looked at him and I said, brother, the Spirit is always with you. But there are ups and downs. We can't expect the same feeling every time we go to church or every time we experience God. God isn't a drug. And he looked at me and he said, you're right. Then he said, God sent you here today for a reason. God wanted us to meet. I smiled back and I said, God wanted me to relax, and this is definitely a great way to do it. Which is true. I love talking with people about God. I love discussing and debating theology. Because I love just following God. But I fail so many times. And many Christians think the way this man thought. They think that if they don't have this awe-inspiring feeling flowing through them, that God just isn't there with them. They come to church, and if they don't feel the right excitement, then they start looking for another church that might give them that rush back. God isn't a drug. God is the Lord of all. God's our sustainer. He's our redeemer. He's all we need. But for some, they view the experience as more important than that relationship. They want the good-feeling drug. They don't necessarily want the relationship because they don't know what that relationship looks like. And if we could only trust in him, relying on how good he is, even during our times of trial, like David, we would feel his presence. The issue is, in the midst of our pain and our suffering, and being a follower of Christ doesn't mean we're not going to face pain and suffering. But in the midst of this pain and suffering, we don't always feel God. We don't always feel God because we're taking our focus off God momentarily. And it's in those moments, of fear and anger that we need God more. It's in those moments that we need his reassurance. It's in those moments that we need to be like King David, screaming out our lament, screaming out questions like, why, God, am I going through this? Questioning God as to why he would allow this to happen. But also in the midst of that questioning, praising God for his faithfulness. And I'm going to repeat that last section of chapter 13 because we all need to keep this in our hearts. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. God is good all the time. God's love for us is unfailing. God is our only salvation, and we need to be continually praising him for that. And if we could only do this, would our lives be so much easier? The challenge for us as we leave this week is to look into our walks with the Lord. Each and every one of us needs to look at ourselves and ask the question, do I really trust the Lord with my all? Or maybe we need to ask, am I seeking the Lord with my all? They are both great questions because God is always there. God is always holding you in his arms. God is the good shepherd who takes care of his sheep. And when you think of sheep, we are in a farming community. Everyone knows that sheep are not the brightest animals on the farm. And we need to remember that we are likened to sheep all the time. We think we know what's best for us. But only God knows what's best for us. So the challenge is to seek, to continue to seek God. Bad things are going to happen. They have since the fall of man. Even before the fall of man, they happened when the enemy came in to try to take Eve away and talk her out of this. Bad things happen. But if we only rely on God, if we only turn to God, crying out to him, letting him know that we are so weak. Peter and Abraham and David are great examples. We shouldn't act like we have it together. We need to run to the Lord when we're going through times of trouble. Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you this morning knowing that life isn't always easy. There are times of trouble in tribulation and trials, Lord. And we just ask that during these times you encourage us, that you continue to draw us closer to you. But also during times when we have friends and family who are needing your encouragement, that need you to hold them, that you send us to them, Lord. That you use us to be a light into this world that's lost and dying, Lord, a world that needs you. We just thank you for everything you're doing in our lives, Lord. And it's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.